Welcome to Elevate Today podcast. Today I am with Levante Hester, and I just saw him at church on Sunday, and I was like, oh my gosh, nice to see you. We should so do a podcast together, and here you are a week later.
I am excited to be here.
So when did we meet?
Was that during COVID? Was that when COVID started?
Yes.
Yeah, I think 2020.
2020, yes.
Yeah, I think that's when I met you. Yeah.
Wow.
It's been a while.
Yeah. And yeah. But like since then, I feel like I've known you as someone who's been probably the most like widely diverse in the fitness world. Like your stories, I swear you've been at so many different places at 5 a.m. at like different gyms. Mm-hmm. And where are you now?
I am at City Sports at New Hall for right now. I don't know where I'll be heading next, but we'll see. End of year or beginning of next year, I'll find somewhere else.
And where have you trained in San Jose?
I've trained at American Barbell in Campbell, Monterey, Southside, Northside, 24 at Eastridge, the other 24 on Southside off of Santa Teresa or Blossom Hill, the one super far south. Red Dot, of course, Warcat. OG Warcat.
F45.
Excuse me. Oh, okay. We're doing group fitness too. Okay, so Orange Theory, Willow Glen.
I didn't see them a separate day.
Yeah. No, Orange Theory at Willow Glen at Santa Clara University and Cupertino. F45 in Cupertino. Where else? What else have I done? I think that's it.
And then I saw you at some gym with Red, and like there's a bunch of art on the walls. This was like a 5 a.m. group fitness class group. I just remember seeing like a bunch of art on the walls, and they were classes I think that you taught. Maybe it's just one.
Red one on the road. Wall. There's
only... And then now you're at Fightcraft.
Yes, I train at Fightcraft. I love it. Yeah.
That's so crazy.
Getting punched in the face. My shins are always sore. My knees are always in pain, but...
Yeah, that's fighting. It's totally different than gym soreness. You're like, oh no, I literally got hit here. Like someone punched me right there.
I was thinking of going sparring today, but I was like, you know what? I want to enjoy a weekend not limping, you know, like not in pain. Let me just work out and
yes. Kind of do this. Yeah. What made you want to get into fighting since you're like already seen every ounce of fitness?
I want to become hard to kill.
Okay.
Right. I can already, you know, shooting's already something I enjoy. You know, done it. I want to do more of it. It's just ammo's expensive. And it's just something that I've always like respected, especially like UFC. When I first started watching UFC, mm-hmm. I was just like, yeah, barnroom brawls, you know. And then I started to understand like the technique and form. And I wrestled a lot in middle school. And a little in high school, not too much. And I was like, man, I really want to know how to, like, you imagine if you get in a fight, like, what you would do. And then you try, you're like, no, that's not what's going to happen. So I wanted to, like, learn technique. And I've always wanted to head kick. I've always wanted to learn how to just head kick.
Yeah.
That's always been, like, a desire of
mine. And can you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I can. Now I can. Now I can head kick. So, like, I'm, like, mission accomplished. But now I'm thinking I want to try to possibly maybe next year. Whenever my coaches say I'm ready, if I can stay consistent for me, I want to do a point Muay Thai match. I would love to do that. Like, just go against it, especially like because you had Yvette here and like,
yep,
she's a freaking savage.
She inspires me so much. I'm like, oh, stay away. I'm gonna fight. I'm gonna fight if you. If I keep seeing what she's doing, it's crazy. She came to church like right after her fight. Her mm-hmm. fight was on a Saturday, mm-hmm. and I sat next to her on Sunday, and I'm like, didn't you just fight last yeah. night? She's like, yeah, I'm a little sore. I'm like, dang, you're crazy.
Up in there worshiping too? Yeah, because right before you had seen her, I talked to her in the lobby because I didn't get to like see an update. I didn't check the social media mm-hmm. to see how it went. Excuse me. And I was like, what happened? She's like, yeah, I beat her up. And I was like, heck yeah, let's go. She came in like she was all tough, hot stuff. I'm like, humbled her real quick.
It blows my mind. Like the thing about Muay Thai is the knees and the elbows. Mm-hmm. You can't really avoid getting you can't avoid getting hit from knees and elbows, but I swear that's painful. Mm-hmm. Elbows are sharp.
Elbows. That's another thing. Head kicks and elbows. I really wanted to learn how to throw. Like, because It's interesting because now that I'm a lot older, a lot more mature, you don't get in fights, right? Like when I was younger, oh my gosh, like challenged all the time. You know, you're a big guy. You just walk in. Oh, you think you're tough, huh, big guy? I'm like, I just walked in here. Like, I'm just trying to get a beer. Like,
that's so sad.
Like, bro, what are you talking about? You talking to my chick? Who's your girl? All I see is dudes here. You know, like.
Who's your girl? I've wondered that if people ever, like, get so big and, like, buff where they're, where I'm like, you know, do you ever regret getting so big because people think you're scary when you're, like, loving and kind, but people are like, hey, and you're like, it's not like it. It's just.
And it's always, like. I don't want to say little guys, but hashtag short kings. Shout out to the short kings out there.
Yes.
But it's usually smaller dudes that are like always try to challenge, or even like the big buff obnoxious dudes that like think they're just everything. And it's just like, bro, I don't care. I just want to get a drink. I just want to go chill with my peeps. I don't care.
Yeah.
Like you're in my way. Excuse me. Can I get to the, you know, stuff like that. Yeah. I've never been a one to like start problems, and I try to de-escalate stuff. The military helps with that, so.
Yeah, that's really good. It's refreshing though to hear people handle their problems like violently sometimes, you know, when you see things like happen either in court or over texting, or like the way women handle it, we just bicker back and forth, we just keep talking, but men, like, their nature is just fight it off fight, and I'm like off. Oh, that's simple. I mean, at a bar is unnecessary, but it's simple. Fix the problem.
So funny story about that. I didn't even think I was gonna talk about this. So when I was in Afghanistan, there's a thing called wall-to-wall counseling, which this is an older military term, but people prank a lot, especially if you're confined with a bunch of men in a very tiny area for a long period of time. You know, yeah. We get bored. We do stupid stuff. And I'm one of the biggest pranksters of all time, right? But there's limits to my pranks. I'm not going to do a prank that's going to put your life in danger, right? So there, yeah. I have standards and limitations, right? But someone did a prank, and it wasn't funny to me because what they did are combat vests, right? I don't know if the newer ones, I don't even know what models there are anymore, but there's one where you pull a ripcord, you know, and the whole suit can fall apart. The whole case can fall apart. So that way, if someone's shot, you can get to the wound quickly, right? Now they have clips and buttons, I think, but mine was an old school one, right? So you pull a ripcord, the whole thing falls apart, right? So someone pulled my ripcord, but they basically pulled it, they set it back in there enough to where it would look like it was stationary, right? So I had no idea it was messed up. So we get incoming, right? We get an incoming, right? And then they tell us to put our gear on. As soon as I pick my gear up, everything falls apart, right? It's funny, right? People are laughing. I'm not, because I'm sitting here like, I'm like, bro, like, we're getting freaking IDF, and like, now my kit's all on the floor. Now I gotta like grab all these pieces.
That's terrible.
And I gotta like run and like hope. I'm just hoping nothing. Because what really gets people is the shrapnel, right? It's the shrapnel, the stuff that flies. Without body armor, like, I'm screwed, right? So I'm just like, I'm mad. So I'm getting in there and I'm just like putting my stuff together. I'm like, who did this? Everybody's just laughing, right? They think it's a good time, right? Because I'm a prankster, right? I'm a joking person, but I was serious as a heart attack. I was like, nah, like, who did this? I was really, really upset. Fast forward a couple weeks later, we were able to handle some issues. Let's just say, you know, it didn't matter what rank you were. You take the rank off, you know, we have somebody looking out the door. Okay, hey, we're good to go. You lock the door. You settle your issues like men. Win, lose, draw. You shake on it. It's over with, right? What happened to so-and-so? Oh, man, he fell. That's I saw him fall. You know, that's what you say. I don't know. We didn't see him get his butt kicked. All I know is he fell. He fell pretty hard, too. Dislocated his shoulder. He got a black eye.
Pretty hard.
Yeah, it's a tough fall. You got to be careful. Balance is key, you know. Yeah.
Those stories blow my mind. Because, like, I mean, I am more sheltered. But when I hear people really do that, that's pretty crazy.
I mean, it solved the problem.
Yeah.
I personally wish there was more of that. I don't know what it's like now. I only know what it's like when I was in and, like, transitioning out and how it was needed, you know, because I deployed back in 2013 and I got out in 2018. So it had changed and I'd already started seeing the change. And I'm just like, oh, my God, some people just need to get punched in the face just once. Just once.
I hear that so much. And I truly believe it. I do think people need to get like hit and know that there's consequences when you talk a certain way, when you treat people badly, mm-hmm. or like if you treat someone badly and that person wants to beat you up. That was how it was, like high school stories that my parents would tell me about. But now it's like, now you just get them back with your words. Get their feelings hurt. And it's like, please don't get my feelings hurt, because that hurts a lot more than getting hit, in my opinion. Are you talking about the change in military?
Yes.
So what have you noticed?
Normally when you go to the military, you conform to the military, right? You change to the military standards, right? They're so hard at you at boot camp because they break you down to build you back up, right? That's the whole concept. You look at anything like, was it Surviving the Cut? I think it's Surviving the Cut or something like that. The old school documentaries, they used to do it on like Ranger School, SF School, but it was regular basic training is not that intense. But the core concept of it is, right? And now, like at least from what I've seen, your people, the military is trying to conform to everything else, right? Right, and it's annoying because I'm just like, well, I didn't join this to be like everything else. I joined this to be different. I joined because I wanted discipline. I wanted structure. I wanted guidance. I didn't want to be like a little kid if I don't get what I want, I throw a temper tantrum and then my dreams come true. Like,
yes.
But that's not how life works. That's not how reality works. Now, I don't know how it is now. Like I said, it's been out since 2018. But that's the direction I seen it going in. And I kind of came up in a generation where some of my peers, they were like old school military mindset. Now that comes with its downsides as well, but it was basically if they said jump, you jump. You don't ask how high, you don't ask when, you just jump. Jump. Okay. We jumping, right? You outrank me, you know what's best for me. You would never set me up for failure, right? You would hope, right? You just jump. Now, or when I was in, you say jump, they're like, why do I gotta jump? How high? Like, what's the purpose of me jumping? Where am I jumping to? Like all these, I said jump, right? Right? You don't want to be told what to do? Get promoted. But even then, you're gonna get told to jump by someone else, right? So it's that's one of the reasons I was just like, yeah, I'm kind of done.
Really? Mm-hmm. That's such a different reason than most.
That one of, there was a lot. There was a lot, but that was one of the key things. I'm like, what's the point?
So military, what are the reasons why it was good for you and the reasons why you left?
Well, I joined the Army back in 2010, right out of high school. And I wanted to kind of do things on my own. I wanted to be independent. Mm-hmm. I thought of going to UTI, like automotive school, right? And I was thinking like, okay, how am I going to pay for this, right? And I know my mom, you know, she was like, oh, I can help you out. You know, I'll pay for your stuff and all this jazz. And I'm just like, nah, you've done enough. You got me to 18, right? Like you got me to this point where it's time for me to go out and do my own thing. So I'm thinking, how can I go do my own thing? And a lot of my friends joined the military at the same time, or we're talking about joining the Army at the same time. There's like three before me. Yeah. And we're all in the same class graduating. So like,
oh
yeah.
Wow.
So like we all join like kind of back to back to back. There's like, I think five of us total. Right. There's five of us. One went to the Marines, but you know, and I was just like, you know what, you know, and at that time I was just a little high school punk. So I was, I don't want to go to Afghanistan and get shot. Like that was my mentality. I don't want to go to Afghanistan and get shot. Like, you know,
yeah.
That was just how I thought, like, oh, that's so scary, you know? Yeah. And you know, you meet your recruiters, they talk to you and stuff like that. And of course they fluff things up a lot, but it's whatever. And I was like, you know what? I think this would be good. I signed up for a 3-year contract. I'm like, it's 3 years, right? I'll still be out 21. Like I'll still have plenty of life. So let's just see what a difference it can make, you know? And excuse me. I didn't want to do anything combat related because once again, I was a little punk. I was like, no, I don't want to be on the front lines. I don't want to fight. You know, that was my whole mentality. Even though when you deploy, you're there. The moment you land, you're in enemy territory. So it doesn't even matter, you know. And this was like when Call of Duty was big. So like in my mindset, it was like Call of Duty style. That was like how I perceived it.
I don't perceive it much differently. I don't know a lot about like I met a lot of military guys, but obviously I haven't seen a lot. So mm-hmm. I assume it's a lot like these movies.
Yeah. And see, that's the image that they kind of portray. I wasn't in a combat arm, so I can't speak too much of like, like an actual, like being in it, like what that's like, but it's not as glamorous as the games fluff it up to be and how mm-hmm. Hollywood fluffs it. Like the Hurt Locker never happened. You would never see somebody be able to walk off base. No, can't do it. Maybe old school. Now you can. Heck no. You ain't walking off base.
You have to be like dismissed and
you just can't. You're not going to leave the base without like a convoy, without like a structured like mission to leave. Like, because in Hurt Locker, he just like walks up. Well, I'm going to just go walk with the population. No, that's not happening. That's not happening. Okay. That's all Hollywood fluff. But I wanted to kind of do things on my own. So I ended up being a mechanic, wheeled vehicle mechanic. I did 3 months. Was it 3 months? I think it was 3 months, 2 months, 6 weeks. I can't even remember the timeline. In Fort Jackson, South Carolina, they called it Relaxin' Jackson. Was not relaxing. Humidity kicked my butt. And then AIT, which is your advanced individual training, your job skill, whatever job you choose. Mm-hmm. You go after your basic training. Everyone goes to different places. You know, I was in ordnance, which is, you know, maintenance and stuff like that. And I spent 4 months in Aberdeen Proving Grounds, which was like Maryland, which I don't think it's a thing anymore. I don't think it's a base anymore for 4 months. But it was fun because this is like your first taste of like being like a real soldier, because you're still in training, but you're not in basic training. So you have freedom. You can leave the base. Yeah. You know, you're kind of like, I look at it like when you're in basic training, you're like in elementary school, right? Like, no, strict structure. You can't do anything. AIT, okay, you're like a teenager now. Okay, we'll give you some freedom and stuff like that, but don't do stupid stuff, you mm-hmm. know? And I was still underage, so couldn't drink.
There you go.
Couldn't drink, you know, but I drank my ass off.
That's awesome. Most military guys do, I've learned.
Yeah, it's, you know, because that's the environment.
Men?
Not even that, just we work so hard and we're like so stressed constantly, you know, and I didn't smoke. I didn't like smoke cigarettes. So like a lot of people, they'd be all at the smoke pit. I don't like cigarettes. I don't like the smell of it. I hate when it gets on my clothes. It's like I like gag sometimes when I smell it. Mm-hmm. So like the only other social thing was just drinking.
Weed isn't a thing in the military?
It's illegal.
It's illegal in the military?
Yeah.
For everyone?
Yeah, girl. That's a federal ban.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Just like the cops.
Yeah.
Cops can't smoke.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Cause it's a federal ban. At the time, spice was a huge thing. It's a synthetic. I was hearing a lot about spice. I've only heard about it when I was in the military. I was like, the heck is spice? Like oregano? Like, you know, that's where my mind was like, we're using oregano. We can't, who's inhaling oregano? Like, you're supposed to put that on food and eat it. Like that was my mindset. Cause I didn't know. And then I learned, you know, what it was, and, lost a good couple guys to, you know, some just indulging in some of those pleasures and stuff like that. Cause they have like a zero tolerance to that. Like, yeah. Underage drinking. Okay. Right. You can, they'll give you a little slap on the hand, like, don't do it again. But like drug abuse or something like that, they don't play.
Mm-hmm.
They do not play at
all. And do you guys get tested all the time?
Not all the time. So I want to say I got tested the most probably when I was in Korea, right? Because Korea, you have access to like everything. Like there's a lot of black market stuff. There's a lot of black market liquor. And what started the testing was we had a few people, I guess, pop hot for just all different types of stuff, you know. Yeah. Yeah. Little cocaine, right? In Korea. Right. Cause you,
South Korea,
South Korea. Yes. Yes. Oh no, North for me. No.
Military can't go to North Korea, or
you don't want to go to North.
Yeah.
Unless you're that one kid that ran away over there. I don't know. I seen something about, I didn't look into it, but there's just so much access to like liquors and stuff that you just don't see anywhere else. Mm-hmm. You know how we have like restrictions out here in the US on like certain stuff that gets imported? at that time in Korea, this was back in 2011, like none. Like, you're just getting all, there's liquors that I've never seen again to this day, you know, and I've traveled a lot and I haven't seen them. I've only seen them in Korea.
Wow.
But, yeah, we had some people popping hot for a little cocaína, and then we're getting tested, right? Now, they, a giant test, right, of like the entire unit, they call it a health and wellness inspection.
That's it.
Right? So they'll check the rooms. They'll, like, they're going all the way through checking all your stuff, making sure there's no illegal stuff. They do a full, like, piss test of everyone and stuff like that. The entire unit, it's a lot. So we had like two health and wellness, and those were like 2 months apart. And then you have your periodical random piss tests, which were, I don't know what it was. Was it every quarter? I don't know. I was only called in like one other time after that. But I know someone who was kicked out, unfortunately, for some, they popped hot for something. But they were like, I don't even do anything. You know, it turned out it was one of the liquors. There was traces of, like, cocaine in it.
Whoa.
Or either someone put it in their drink, right, when they went
like
out.
Like a prankster?
Maybe, but, like, I mean, you know how people drug people out there. Like, you know, they just slip stuff, especially when you're, you know. That's why whenever I'm out, I'm always like this. I always hold my drink like this because, yeah, I don't, when I'm walking around, like, or I'll hold it really high because I'm tall, so that way people can't put stuff in my drink, right? And then when I'm at a table, like, I'll never leave my drink. That's a whole nother story. But
have you been laced before?
I have.
That's so scary.
I got roofied, but I didn't get fully roofied because I only took like a sip, or it was a giant ass gulp, but it was, yeah.
a sip,
but it was like,
it was a giant gulp.
I was in Romania with,
you've been to Romania?
Yeah.
Do you love it?
It was fun. It was fun, minus what happened. But other than that, it was fun. Traveling was amazing.
Yeah.
But I was there with, it was supposed to be three of us, another buddy of mine. Mm-hmm. And he couldn't make it, so it ended up being me and his friend. I didn't really know his friend at the time. I had like met him once, but we weren't like boys, right? But like, well, we're kind of stuck here, so let's just have fun, you know, let's just go with it, let's just have a good time, you know. So we're traveling to Romania and all this stuff, and then we go out clubbing, and we took turns buying drinks, right? I was drinking Jack and Coke, he was drinking vodka Red Bull. I don't drink energy drinks with alcohol. I just don't drink energy drinks with alcohol, right? I'm like, if I'm gonna drink, it's gonna be liquor with stuff. So when it was his turn to get the drinks, he got me vodka Red Bull, right? Not once during the trip did I ever drink a vodka Red Bull. I was like, hey, Jack and Coke, or whiskey cola, because they don't have Jack out there. So it was like a whiskey cola. So he gets the drinks, and I was like, where are the drinks? And he's like, oh, they're on the table, right? Now, granted, yeah, the table's probably from here to where, maybe like your kitchen, like in the far corner, but this is through a crowd of people. And I'm just like, why did you leave the drinks on the table? Oh, it's fine, man.
Such a bad friend.
Right? He's like,
mess up your drink.
Like, it's all good. We're just here having a good time. I'm like, I'm thinking like, idiot, like who leaves the drinks on the table? So I go grab both of our drinks, right? And I'm like, we're not even at that table anymore. Like, I don't know why you left. We're not even like over there.
Yeah.
So I bring our drinks over here, and I'm looking. I'm just like, okay, you know, it looked okay to me. But what I didn't know is, because I was drunk too. Like, I didn't notice that it wasn't dark, right? So I drank the drink. Like, I took like a giant gulp, and I was like, man, what'd you get? Oh, I got vodka Red Bull. So I was like, you can have it. I was like, I don't drink energy drinks. He's like, oh, you're being a little blah, blah, blah. And I was like, well, I'd be a blah, 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 but I ain't drinking no, you know, I'm not going to drink no energy drinks. So fast forward like 20 something minutes later, he's slumped. He's like this, sitting in a chair in the bar. And I was like, you know, I had just gotten back from the bathroom, and one of the people, one of the females we had met, was like, hey, your friend's out. And I was like, what? And he's just sitting here just done. His whole drink was like demolished, and like half of mine was there, right? And I was like, great, this dude's like out. So we stayed maybe like 15-20 minute walk at a normal person pace, right? At a normal pace away from the club.
Dang.
So I'm thinking like, oh, I'm gonna have to carry this dude. I was like, all right, well, you know, I'm gonna head on out, you know. Luckily the chick we had talked to, I got her number. That's important. That's important for the story later. That's important. So we're going to leave, right? And there's these guys who had, we had met at like the bar, and they're like, oh, you're heading out? I was like, yeah, man. I was like, he can't hang, right? He can't hang, right? But as soon as I started carrying him, I started to feel a little lightheaded. I was feeling a little dizzy. I was getting like a little nauseous. I was like, what is going on? I was like, what the heck? And I'm walking, and I'm just like, I'm just like, ah, nope, come on, come on. Like, yeah, like we got to make it. Like, come on, let's go. Like, I was just thinking like, oh man, the liquor's kicking in. And, but I'm still like vigilant. So I hear the same dudes that we had said peace out to, I hear them, right? And I'm walking and I still hear them. So I'm like, am I tripping? I was like, am I tripping right now? So I do like a quick look over my shoulder, and they're like walking in our direction, right? The same way we're going, you know, they're smoking, talking. I'm thinking like, huh, I'm like, that's a little weird. So I tested something out. I went, I did a quick little right and a quick little left.
Could your
left.
Friend walk?
Barely. Like he was, his like legs, bigger. Yeah, he was like, his arm was over my back, right? And I'm just holding him like this, and his legs were just kind of on autopilot a little bit, but he wasn't like, it was almost like I was like pretty much holding him, and his legs were just kind of there. Sometimes they drag, you know. And then took the right, I hear him still. Take the left. I'm like, okay, so now these dudes are following me. So now my mind's going through scenarios. I'm like, okay, why would these guys be following me? Why would they be following us? You know, crap, what had happened? He left the drinks on the table. I was like, no, it couldn't have been. I was like, I looked in the cup. I was like, maybe I didn't look well enough. Maybe they mixed it. I don't know. So there's a like a donor spot. You know what donors are? They're like Turkish, like where they have the rotisserie lamb and they cut the meat off. You know, you ever seen the meat spinning? Yeah. So like
taco
a donor
truck?
Kind of like that, but it's like in Europe, they're like donor shops, like how we have, they're in comparison to like taco stands and stuff like that out there. But
that's cool.
Yeah, it's fire. It's an actual restaurant. Damn. And I remember us going there earlier in the day. So I was like, bruh, I need to like sit down. So I walk in there and I sit in the corner. Right, I'm in the corner. I see the front door, and I see the everything is in front of me. Right, just where I want to be, where I could see everything. Nothing's behind me. And lo and behold, these dudes come around. Right, they're like right outside, and I can see one of them like looking in. And I sit the boy down, and he's sitting here just, you know, like just bobbleheading it. And I'm just like, crap, crap. So I'm like playing it cool, like. I don't know that they did something, right? I'm gonna just continue to play cool. I go up, I get some food. I'm like, maybe I can, you know, try to, the grease, the fatty grease will absorb, you know, whatever. So I get something, and then, you know, I grab like two extra knives, right? And I'm literally having them, holding them like reverse grip behind me, like at the table like this. So I'm eating normally, you know, because I see one of the dudes, he keeps looking in, like in the restaurant, right? Like at us and stuff like that. And I'm just sitting here just like, oh yeah, they definitely did something to the drink. And I'm like still like just woozy. And I'm like, man, I don't want to stand up because I'm going to look off balance. But the more I sit, I feel like the more it's hitting me. Right. So I'm just
so trapped.
I'm like, that's how I felt. So I ended up, I was like, this may be a long shot. She's either going to be in on the plan, or she's going to actually help. I end up calling the chick. Whoa. Whose number I just got, right? And I was like, if she's in on it, I'm screwed, because they'll just bum rush. They'll just come inside, you know, but they didn't know where we stayed. So my thing was, they probably wanted our passports, essentially. American passports are like gold.
Really?
Yeah, they were like gold, especially like in Romania. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But no one carries their passports on them when they go out. That's stupid, you know? And I'm like, they don't know where we stay. There's nothing besides my phone that has the actual address where they can know where we stay. And this is before the face ID. So I'd have to physically put in my password. So I'm like, at least there's that option, right? So I end up calling and I was like, hey, those guys you introduced me to, I'm like, I don't, this might be a little weird, but I was like, I think they might have did something to our drinks. And, you know, because I feel like they're following me. Her response, like, gave me chills. She was like, not again.
This girl.
Right? She's like, not again. She's like, where are you at? I was like, I'm at this the little kebab shop, whatever. And she's like, hold on, right? So she hangs up, right? And I'm just sitting here like, not again.
Not again?
What? So I'm literally like...
She's in on it.
Like, that's what I thought. I was just like, bro, these dudes are about to come in. So I literally just put my hands down and like, he's next to me in the corner, right? And I'm just like, okay, I can take one, two, maybe three. Nah, bro, maybe for a little bit, but it's one of them's gonna catch me. My balance is already off. I'm gonna probably get stomped out, something, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm already going through the scenarios, right? Like, I'm just like, you know, I want to take out the big guy first. I was like, but maybe I should take out the little guy first because it'll be easier. Like, I'm already like going through my mind of like what's going to happen and stuff like that. And I'm looking, like, I'm just kind of looking off to the side using my peripheral. One of them picks up the phone, right? And then just like, they're just talking, and then like the other one like points inside and stuff like that, but I'm pretending I don't see any of it, right? I'm just like,
you're open to her ruining this whole plan and like telling them that, you know,
I was like, she either knows or like if she's in on it with them, then, you know, I'm screwed. But turns out, you know, fast forward later, they ended up walking away. She ends up showing up, you know, and she was ending up telling me how they had did something like that a month prior, but like to someone that she knew. Some like of her friends, they like roofied some of her friends and stuff like that.
Why would she stay friends with them?
She worked at a club and she was like a promoter or something like that. Okay. So she just kind of like, oh, hi, hello, but not like buddy, buddy, you know? And I'm just like, all I know is we had a flight the next day and I had to basically help old boy get ready because he was still like,
how long does a roofie last?
He apparently took a lot because they put a lot in mine. And his, and he drank his full drink and my drink.
Did he think that you guys were women or they were trying to rob you?
No, I wholeheartedly feel like they're just trying to rob us. Like, you know, because Americans, we go to these countries where our money's long, mm-hmm. and we're just bottle service, which is only like $20 for us, you know? So they think, you know, in comparative, we're rich, mm-hmm. you know? But you come over here, it's on taxes, you know? But it was a crazy thing, and I just remember like thinking, I hope this dude can please make it through security. Like, when we started to get to the flight the next day, he was still a little like nauseous, but he was able to walk on his own and stuff. He was just like, he's like, bro, I'm just tired, I'm just like dizzy. Like, he just kept saying he had like a headache and he just felt like he wanted to puke. That's what he kept saying. So we make it on the plane. Once we got on the plane, I was like, mission complete. Because mm-hmm. once you're back in Germany, like, okay, cool, we got our peoples are here, I can get anyone yeah. to pick us up. And but the reason I found out it was Rooflin, he ended up getting tested because he was feeling off like the whole next, he was messed up for like 2 days after. He said his just body just felt off, so he ended up getting tested. And they were saying like, yeah, you know, we found like Rooflin in your system and stuff like that. And he's just like, well, that would explain what happened. And ever since then, I never leave my drink alone.
Dang. That's a lesson learned. I've been told to be super careful. But like, until you hear a story, until like you're really warned, it's easy to forget. Mm. I heard the same thing happen. A bartender was like, oh, you and your friend should come to another club that I bartend at in San Francisco. It was like late at night. I'm like, no, I don't know you, sir. Mm. And then he was like, no, that's wise, because in Ecuador, they roofie your drinks to steal your organs. Maybe. I'm pretty sure it was that country where he told me. He's like, in my country, they roofie drinks to steal your organs. And if you're lucky, you can wake up in an ice tank and they'll have information on the walls for those that like survive through it. Like, if they get the organs and there's still any chance to live. And I was like, why would they keep their body in there with ice and put up the number? And it's like, well, because they have a heart still. They just got to get their hustle, make their money, steal organs. And I'm just like, that's a different business.
That's one of my biggest fears. That's like one of the reasons why I'm like nervous to go to certain places in South America. Cause I'm like, They're gonna be like, "Ooh, look at that healthy specimen right there." we know he got some good. Let me get them kidneys. Let me get that liver. Like,
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Like that's the deepest and darkest. I mean, like getting roofied and losing complete control when you already lose half your memory. Ugh. Yeah. I'm gonna do this coffee too.
Yeah, it's. I'm trying to think of all the places I've been. I think because I've been to officially 33 countries now.
Do you remember the names?
I have a list of all the places that I've been. Most recent, Bali and Singapore. I just got back from Indonesia and of course Malaysia. That was amazing. I got back in August.
How do you travel now?
Now. It's a little bit different. Like we, for this trip, like we saved up for it. Like we knew, like we planned it almost like a year out and went and planned for it and went for it. But this was a good trip because I didn't have to plan anything. Like my cousin planned it. I was like, thank God. Cause normally I'm like the planner and planning with multiple people sucks. It sucks. You know, some people pull out, some people, oh, I don't want to do this. I want to do this. And I don't like dealing with that. Like it's annoying. So I was just like, hey, pretty much most of it, I was like, hey, you got my proxy, whatever you want to do, I'm down for. Just, I don't care. Just tell me dates and prices. That's all I need. But that was really, really fun.
Is it safe?
Yes. Bali's like a party, the whole city's party. It's the best hospitality I've ever had. Honestly, like they went above and beyond with a lot of stuff, even like their tour guides, even like we had, like we balled out in Bali. Like we had a villa, we had house staff who were there, and they helped us out with everything, made breakfast for us and stuff like that. And like we tipped them, which like a $5-something tip is almost like a $30 to $40 tip in comparison.
Wow.
Right. So like we're giving them like I can see why they enjoy it, and they're like, we love what we do.
Mm-hmm.
And just even like cab drivers were like just super nice and hospitable. Everyone, like no one was ever rude.
Is it English? Do they speak English there?
For the most part, yeah. Yeah. There's they speak, I don't know if it's Indonesian, if that's the correct term for the language. I'm pretty sure it is. I'm not sure. But you hear a few of like the local nationals speaking it, you know, off to the side. But for the most part, they'll be like, they'll do like this because scooters are like the main method of transportation
that's
out
so
there.
Cool.
They're like, and I'm like,
no,
I'm too big. Guy. No. Yeah, like it. Looking all tiny on the back, just holding the wind. You know, it's funny. It was funny, but it was a good time.
Was it expensive flight?
Not for a year out, no. But like, because I planned it before.
Yeah.
But it was about because I paid for extra leg room, obviously long flights, so it was like. Maybe like 13-14.
Yeah, that's pretty,
you know, especially because then I went Singapore, Bali, and then I went from Bali to Singapore, and then Singapore to Taiwan, and then Taiwan back home. So
what's your favorite place you've visited?
I'll give you a top three.
Okay.
Croatia, number one by far.
Really?
I love Croatia. The water crystal clear, you could see through it. Same architecture as Italy, not as expensive. People are super nice. Food, impeccable. Party life, let's go. Let's go. I think Bali made it to number two after this trip. It was dope. Like, besides the constant rave music and, you know, trying to find something where I could, you know, twerk to, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because most of it's like, like house music.
Okay, I didn't
stuff,
know. I like house.
Which then you'll feel right at home.
But for a whole, like, vacation time, that's crazy.
It's, I'm like, okay, look, I get it. It's a lot of.
You didn't find R&B or anything like
we
that?
We went to one place that had, like, hip-hop night, and it was legit.
Let's go.
It was legit. Like, we were VIP in there. Number three is tough. I would have to say number three would have to be Germany for me. I spent 4 years there. Loved it. Open borders. So like where I was stationed in Wiesbaden, which is, it's right by Frankfurt.
Frankfurt?
Frankfurt, yeah.
Frankfurt. Ischli, wait. Ich liebe dich.
Ah, ich auch. Ah, ja. Mein Deutsch ist klein ist gut, ja.
Was geht dir?
I don't know what you said anymore. Like, okay. I don't know anymore.
I don't know what I said either. It's something.
You know Ich liebe dich, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I used to know a lot more, but
brain. I almost dated a German.
I dated three.
You dated three at the same time.
No.
Because you are military, and I learned.
No, not at the same time. I'm a man with standards and morals.
That's what I thought most military men were.
Yeah. When you get to a certain stage, like you have to mature into that. Mm. At first, it's overwhelming. That's at least from my personal experience and from what I've seen, it's very overwhelming. Yeah, Germany's probably my number three because like France was 4 hours away, Prague was 5 hours away, Brussels was 4 hours away. Everything, it was so centrally located to everything. And then like Germans just find a reason to party for anything. Like they have all these festivals for everything. Oh, the flowers are blooming. Let's have a party. You know what? Like the weather increased 10 degrees. Let's just throw a festival. Like it's, they have a reason.
And it's October. They do something.
September, October is Oktoberfest, right? Which is, it's usually September time frame, like end of September, early October, Oktoberfest, which everyone knows, you know, the dindas and the lederhosen, they go and you drink beer and you have like the giant chicken leg and you're just eating, having fun, like beer by the pint, you know.
That's crazy.
But where I was at, I was on the west side, they do more of wine. They're more of the wine area. So they'll do like more like wine festivals, which is how I become to love wine so much. And their Christmas markets, top notch.
Really?
Top notch. Like there's nothing, imagine Christmas in the park, but like throughout an entire city, like an entire, not entire, almost like an entire country is like, cause they're all big into that theme. If you ever get the chance to try Glühwein, it's like hot wine, but it's like a,
what?
Yes.
Hot wine's a thing.
And it's a holiday drink.
Glühwein.
Yes. It's amazing. And they have different flavors too. Like the orange ginger is my favorite by far. And orange ginger, like
hot,
super
wine.
Hot. And it's cold, like snowy outside. And you're just sitting here just like,
that sounds cozy.
It's very.
People love Germany, and to me, it sounds so boring. But it must be the culture, because there's nothing like. There's no beach. There's no forest. There's no lakes.
There's a forest.
Well, that's not what I hear Germany is known for. They're like, oh, it's just so, so good. It's so beautiful, and I'm like, there's never a reason. It's just like the culture.
Yeah,
they're very true to their people. Maybe.
Mm-hmm. I think if you went, it would change your perspective. Like, yeah. Depending where you, when you went, like if you went in the Christmas season, you'd be like, I could just stay here. If you're like, you know, summertime, it would just be summer festivals. Mm-hmm. Like the people are like nice there. Yeah.
I'm getting antsy. I think I might leave the country really soon.
Do it. Plan it. Mm-hmm. Plan it. Just wherever you want to go, let me know. Like I have like list of different places to check out and stuff like that. Yeah. And I'll just recommend some stuff for you.
I feel like I belonged in Sweden.
Ooh, Sweden.
I mean, everyone was very, very, like, they're very Swedish. Other than the fact I can't talk to most of them, like, half.
Mm-hmm.
It was, like, so cultured and so beautiful and just, like, it makes you feel at home.
I met the most Californians when I was in Sweden.
Really?
The most
you were, Californians. Where were you?
I was in Stockholm. Okay. So we did the major capitals, Helsinki, Finland, Stockholm, Sweden, Oslo, Norway.
Did you like Oslo?
Norway. Let me think. Norway. I think that's when we went to the Viking restaurant. No, Norway, Oslo. That was where I got the. Okay, yes.
The Vikings. They're very Viking-y.
I have an actual. I still have a Viking horn that I got from Norway. It's like an actual Viking horn with the cup. It's a cup that I drink out of. It's super dope. I got my mom a fox, like a legitimate fox pelt. I don't know if she still has it. I don't know what she did with it. It took a lot to smuggle that into the country.
You got it from North America?
I was able to hide it in my luggage very strategically. That's awesome. I was like, if they go through my stuff and they find it, like, they'll probably like, it's a crime because it's an actual, like, it's a legit fox they skinned and they turned it into like a scarf.
Should I delete this from the... nah. Nah. They can come get me.
Fingers are crossed. I don't know. Of course, I'm telling a fib. You know, exaggerating.
It's true. You have to say that.
You know what I'm saying? Build hype on it, right? Yeah. It was dope. But I think Sweden was probably the most fun because I met the most Californians and we had a Viking style like dinner. I don't know if you got to experience that when you were there.
No, but I can. I have a super, she is the best friend in my life at one point. Like, we're still super close. I just can't see her. But she lives in Sweden, so I can stay there for however long I want. I met all of her Swedish friends and their hearts are so kind and tender. And then when I talk about politics over there, it's straight up entertainment to me because they're really trained to be neutral. Like, they're super trained to have neutral opinions but lean pretty like one way, which is opposite of mine. But they're not used to like talking about politics like Americans are. Like, they know it's just going to lead to division or it's just something you don't talk about. It's common courtesy to not do that. And that's what Scandinavia, they have like these culture things where it's like, oh, we don't do that. Like, we're humble because we're Scandinavian. Like, they're, have you noticed that?
A lot of,
I guess you've traveled way too much to notice.
No. I've noticed, like, because at the time Donnie T was president and a lot of people were just like, they would like, how can you support this? I'm just like, I'm over here with y'all. I'm like, look, I can't. I was like, I just have to follow orders, right? Like, it don't matter who sits in that seat, you know, it's going to still be the same old crap. But yeah, they're not big into politics as we are.
It's more like respectfully, like, don't talk about it.
Yeah, it's crazy. Not crazy. I want to say one thing I did enjoy was like Germany, right? Their view on, we all know they almost took over the world. Like, they, if we didn't stop them, you know, we would probably all be speaking German. I probably wouldn't exist, you know.
That's
if you think about it, that's little, what did Hitler want? Blonde hair, blue eyes, right? I'm the opposite, right? So, you know, it's scary to think of, but how they view it, unlike how we avoid stuff here in America, right? Like, how a lot of the times, oh, this was years ago, just get over it, right? They educate their people. Look, this is what happened. This is what we did, right? They learn from it and they move forward. They don't like it was just very, it was a very mature way on how they do that. Like, one of the chicks that I dated, she was like, yeah, in school, we went to like one of the concentration camps. She's like, and we saw like what we did, you know. She's like, yeah, we felt bad about it, but like, that's why we work to be better, right? We don't want to do that again, you know. And now, I don't even know, most people know that, but I think Germany's like the number one supplier of like submarines or something like that. Like, yeah. What? Don't quote me on that. Don't quote me. I believe
these are probably top secrets.
I believe. I mean, no, you can Google that. I'm pretty sure they're the number one like supplier of building submarines. I'm pretty sure that's the case. But
is there water there?
Up north.
See, that blows my mind because I see Europe.
Yeah.
There's no water.
I'm gonna have to Google because I'm very positive that they are like a good manufacturer of that. Like, they probably are like top notch, but they've learned and they've turned their whole view of their whole country around. Like, it works for them, you know. And I think instead of avoiding issues like we do here, I think learn from it. Mm-hmm. We're doomed to repeat history if we don't know it, right? If you're afraid of it, oh, well, it makes me feel uncomfortable. Okay, cool. How do you think people there felt? Like, it's growth happens in discomfort, growing pains, right? Like, no one said, oh, you know, I just want to grow, well, I don't want to say no one said it, but people want to grow nowadays without having to struggle. They just want things to come easy. Nobody want to work for anything. And I'm like, well, just if you learn from it, move past it, you know, you know what not to do. That's essentially what it is. And with Europe, they're very, I feel like they're a lot happier. I feel like everyone there is just a lot happier. Genuinely, people are nicer than from like what I've experienced here, because sometimes people just here are just rude just for like no reason, you know. And I'm just like, we can hate on certain things they do. I was like, but they're happy, so if we're over here miserable,
they're doing something better,
right? I was like, so
maybe it's in their food. The grocery stores, again, I haven't been to Europe. I've been to Scandinavia, which I heard is separate, kind of. But, like, the Swedish grocery stores, the Switzerland grocery stores, healthy food. Like, I could pronounce all of the ingredients on the crackers. Mm-hmm. And then they have an America section with, like, candy and processed cereals. And I'm like, we're better than this, guys.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Their fast food is, like, you can actually eat it.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's the best McDonald's I've ever had was in Germany. By far, best McDonald's. Like,
interesting.
It was like I would get this chicken and egg white sandwich. Fire.
Probably because it was like real eggs.
It was legitimate. You know, the only thing that would have made it better, and this is my American side speaking, is if they had the McGriddle buns.
I have had a McGriddle. I'm like, oh, this is crazy.
You know, it's like the pancake. I was like, if you guys had that, you know, but
that's such American thing to throw in that.
Yeah, you know. And, like, the quality of their food is just, you know, it's just better. They don't use all this extra processed stuff and, like.
Mm-hmm. They do it. They do it better, simply. Everyone should visit Europe and just eat.
It was, even, like, their healthcare stuff. So, my mom, I was able to bring her to Croatia or to Europe for multiple trips, right? We went to Croatia. She ended up busting her shin open. She slipped on a marble staircase and busted her whole shin open. Now, she's a trooper. She didn't say anything to us till the next morning, but she had a gash. She had a gash like about this long, pretty much, on her leg. And she was just like, oh, well, I don't want to inconvenience you guys. And we're like, I was like, Mom, what are you doing? Like, we got to get you the hospital. It's a gaping wound. It's like wide open. So we ended up taking her to a hospital and stuff out there, you know. Getting her tetanus shot, stitches, and everything needed for that was only like $300. Mm-hmm. 300 something. It was like, in comparison, like $300 something. And I'm just like, because I believe they use kunis in Croatia.
They use what?
Kunis. K-U-N-A-S. I believe.
Like Mila Kunis?
No.
Clever. I think. I've never heard of that word.
I think that's just what they call their money. I think it's kunis.
Oh, okay.
Yes, because Croatia doesn't use euro. Like, you can use some euro, but they're not a part of the EU. That's a whole different.
I know what you're talking about. Yeah. That stresses me out. Like, I don't get it.
Yeah, you have to, like, check which country you're going to. Because, like, oh, they don't accept it? Crap, now I got to exchange. You know, or sometimes they'll charge you up. Because they're like, well, we're going to lose money if we exchange and stuff like that. But it only cost like $300 something to get that all taken care of and stuff like that. And I was like, if she would have been a foreigner and busted her stuff in America, it would have cost her like, that easily would have been thousands. $1,000 something just to sit around and wait. Like, I was just like, you know, I was like, see, Mom, like it's not bad.
Yeah, as I learn about these insurance things, like if I ever get hurt, like going to hospital is the last thing I'll ever do, because I'm like, insurance, you're screwed if you don't have the right insurance, or you think it's a good idea to call the ambulance because someone's truly endangered, and then you get like a fat bill, and it's like, these people don't know that. I didn't know that it's gonna cost so much just to have someone save my life. No, thank you.
It's ridiculous. You know, just let me die. Just let me die. Just don't charge me.
Yeah, I'll call my mom. She can fix it with a few remedies. If she can't, give me to God. I'll be fine. Like, yeah, I really believe America has failed us. Their health system has failed us. Because even in Europe, the medications that they require so much less than America. We require one certain pill every single day. And I'm talking about a specific story because my friend was sick. She got sick from the medication because America said, take this pill every day till you get to Peru. And then 30 days after Peru, you can stop taking it. She gets to Peru. She gets sick. And they're saying, the doctors there were like, the medication you were on is way too aggressive. We'd rather you get sick, get better, and like you're immune. But like, that's just not how America does it. And then she goes back to Sweden, and Sweden's like, we only give you one a week. So the doses are fully different, same human body, just three different countries, completely wrong. The only one I agree with is Peru. You know, like, maybe that's not the best idea to allow yourself to get sick. But even Sweden had way less medication. And it's like, our human bodies are all the same. Why are they not all similar? Why are they not all natural remedies?
It's the downside of capitalism. Like, capitalism is great because you can, you know, you can be your own boss. You can, you know, make your way up the ladder. But the downside of that is everything's for profit now, which the consumer, we are the ones that suffer the most out of that, you know, and it sucks. And that's why, you know, I understand, you know, the whole America pride, like capitalism, let's go, you know, and then, you know, the oh, socialist is bad. But I'm just like, a lot of these countries that you say are like socialist per se aren't actually doing bad. Like Germany, they can go, their college is free. Mm-hmm. their college,
I see what you're saying.
Their college is free, right? Their healthcare is free. You can walk in any freaking apotheke is what they call it, like a pharmacy or anything like that. And like, maybe you have to pay a little bit for like drugs, but like, if you have to like go to the hospital, you're not breaking your bank account for it. Mm-hmm. But in return, everyone pays like the same or like the same percentage in taxes and stuff like that. So everyone can just kind of help each other. Right. And in that, I was like, that's why I was grateful. It made me really appreciate, especially when my mom got hurt. Right. Cause over there I was on Army's insurance. Right. Like, I can just go on any base. I got a boo-boo, you know, and like it, you know, technically I pay for it, but it was not anything in comparison. But, you know, and then just seeing it here is just like, why? The downside of for profit is like, it comes at the cost of us.
Yes.
And it sucks because it's like, I'm all for it, but the downside of it is this, is there a way, like, is there a happy medium we can try to find? But
I don't think there exists a happy medium. I think there's enough countries that have tested things. Because in Sweden, we would talk about this stuff all the time. And she was like, our tax dollars paid for this new building. Our tax dollars paid for this, like, art stuff. Mm-hmm. And meanwhile, she's trying to get her wisdom teeth pulled out. But they won't help her until she's, like, severely in pain. Mm. And that's because, like, they're going to help the most important people first. Mm-hmm. Because everyone's equal.
Yeah.
And then it's like, well, what if she paid? But it's really like, whoever gets care is whoever needs it the most. So these lesser degree issues don't get attention, even though they can get fixed a lot sooner if they get proper attention. Mm. So that was another fault, because I was like, so they're going to keep pushing you off until you're desperate.
Possibly it could mess up like your nerve or something in your mouth. Like, because we all know how wisdom teeth be growing in weird. It's,
I don't, I have my wisdom teeth, but I canceled for a jiu-jitsu tournament. So they're like this big, but I need to do that one.
Do they bother you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, they don't hurt, but like when I touch it with my tongue, I'm like, that's weird. There's like a little poke in my gums. And now I'm kind of used to it, but it bothers me because I touch it all the time and it's like a baby big teeth in my gums.
I had three pulled at once, three wisdom teeth pulled at once. That's, so they left one in my mouth, right? Because it, at the time, it wasn't obstructing anything or something like that. I don't know how they worded it, whatever. All I know is they didn't pull it out, but this tooth is already coming through, kind of like how you explained. And they basically, like, years later end up putting a clamp on it, and they just like basically pulled it out, because it was at the point they're just pulling it out, and I just felt all the pressure, and like when it relieved, and I was just like, there's a hole there, right? There's a hole there. For,
were
like,
you on medication or like drugs?
They numbed me, but like, you still feel the pressure.
I want to be out.
It depends if they have to cut into your gum. Yeah, you want to be out.
I just want to be out. I'll give birth without drugs, like, I'll try that, but teeth in my mouth, let me not be alive.
I think the worst pain is when they stick the needle, because for me, when they stick the needle, it's like right here, when they stick it in the mouth and they're shaking it to get the anesthesia, that hurts me the most. I was like, okay, right? Because I just feel like I felt like they were like unhinging my jaw. Like, that's what it felt like for me, even though it's like down here, but mm-hmm. Ugh.
Then they shake your jaw and go deeper. Yeah, it's,
can you feel that? Oh, no, I can't.
Yes. So, something about it, I have very real dental anxiety. Mm. Like, I'm not scared of pain, but something about them being right above me, I've like hallucinated 3 times mm. and had like a panic attack. Well, they're the same to me, but it was just traumatizing.
Hmm. Well, let's hope they put you out like a light when they pull you.
Yeah, like a light.
You're like, all of them. Take them all out right now. I don't want to do this again. Just go ahead. Just knock me out.
And if there's cavities, please get those. Anything else you can fix, please do it. While I am out.
All at once. Ma'am, we don't invite. I don't care. All at once. I'll be here 6 hours. I don't care.
Yeah, if I'm out. Put in some medic, like sleeping pills in that shot or something.
The anesthesia will have you. Have you been ever put under?
Nope.
It was. I have twice. It was weird. Like, yeah, it's not something I like to feel, but like I just remember when I had first gotten. I used to wear braces, even though you can't really tell because I lost my retainer like years ago, like an idiot, but whatever. I had like a tooth that was up here, and they wanted to do surgery to attach a chain to it, to my braces, to pull it down in place because it was going like crooked. And I, you know, so they put me out and they're like, yeah, we're just going to hook you up and all this stuff. And they did the one into the veins. They didn't put the mask on. They did the one where they injected it into my veins, and it just felt like cool. It was weird. Like I felt them, but it felt like ice was going in my veins, and then it's like by the time it got to my shoulder, I just remember waking up. Like I just remember waking up and like just bright lights, like as if you were staring at this, just like super bright light. And then my mom was just like, okay, it's time to go. And I'm like I was out of it for a while. I couldn't move my mouth. I was like just trying to put napkins here because I was drooling. It was and I was like, what? It happened like instantly, and I thought, like, in my mind, I was like, I'm gonna see if I can fight this. It didn't even last 10 seconds.
Oh my god,
like, that was always my mentality. Like, I want to try it, like, I want to see, I think I can outlast it. No,
that's my problem with drinking.
You think you can handle it?
Yeah, never, never.
I can hang, let's like, go.
I'm tough,
I can do it. And then, what happened? You passed out, really? How'd I end up here?
Yeah. That's crazy. Do you feel like you say stuff when you're on that medication? Because if I get on that, I want to know if I'll talk or not.
I can't even remember. I just know I was tired. Like, I was still sleepy.
Were you talking, though?
I can't even remember, honestly.
Your mom didn't say you said anything?
I could ask her, but I don't remember. All I remember is, like, limping to the car, like, being sat down. And like just being just like over, I felt like it's almost like how I, the story of my buddy, like that's how I pretty much picture myself, just, you know. And I just remember getting home and I was tired and I pretty much slept. I slept until like probably 10 or 11 when I got home. And then like my mouth wasn't numb anymore. So I was able to like eat food because I was starving. And then I remember passing back out and then going back to school normal the next day. And I was like, oh, well, okay.
It's gone. Right. Okay. I'll be ready now. Mentally prepared. As long as I can go to sleep, it's no problem.
That was what I was like, you know what? I'll just go to sleep. Like, because I couldn't do, I didn't have energy for anything else. Like, even going to get food, I was just like, you ever been on like autopilot, just kind of getting food, like just tired? That's what it felt like.
Oh, yeah. I don't like eating like that.
Yeah. I was like, but I'm hungry. Because I think they told me not to eat. Yeah, I was told not to eat a couple hours before. I believe so. I think,
yeah,
before anesthesia.
On the medication, yeah. They're really specific.
Like, I think it was like a 12 hours or something. I can't remember the timeline, but I was just hungry, but I couldn't eat after because I was just, I couldn't, like, I'd be chewing on my lip and I wouldn't even know. Right?
Yeah.
Ugh, yeah. I got chills just thinking of it. Just
my time will come. I'll let you know how that goes. At the beginning of the podcast, you said that you think it's important to be hard to kill. Other than military doing that to you, why are you like that?
It's just how the world is. I mean, look, everything that's going on, right? With Ukraine, Russia, now we got Israel and Gaza. Like, I think knowing how to, like, survival is important, you know. And just David Goggins, stay hard. Like, that's just, like, ever since, you know, I was in, like, that environment where you see the skills, how practical they are. And then on the opposite spectrum, trying to become a civilian, like, learning how to be a civilian again, that was a crazy culture shock for me. But I've mastered balance, right? I've learned how to maintain the balance in both, right? Like, you could still have that disciplined mindset, that same structure, the want to be you know how to be survival and know how to be firm and fair and stuff like that, but still be open to like what we deal with in our society. Mm-hmm. That's, I feel like it's just, it just drives me, because I just want to be better. I just want to be better at it. Like, yeah. It's just something I always want to be better at. Like, I don't think I'm never going to go pro. Like, by the time I even get good enough to go pro, this is where people hit their decline. Like, because I'm already like 31, so my knees are already sponsored by AARP. But
what's AARP?
Oh, you are so young. Yeah. It's like insurance for like old people.
Oh yeah, I've like, never heard of
it's
that.
It's like that old people when you get to a certain age.
Oh. See, now you sound even way older. Way older.
I'm a very old soul. I was just trapped in a very young, immature body for the longest.
You've also been a lot of places. Once you see a lot of things, like once you literally see the world, you're like,
it changed me a lot.
Yeah, that's like age.
It's yeah. Like just looking back at how I was, and then when I first got back, and people like, man, you're so different. You're so much more calmer, because I was like the class clown. I was always like super hype, which I have that energy in me, right? Right. It's still there. Like, I'm still an animated person. That's never going to change in me. But like, it's more tamed. Before, it was just like, I'm going to be nerdy and all the time. Like, I'm just going to be all hype, all sarcasm 90% of the time. Mm-hmm. Now it's more like 89%, but you know, that's an improvement, you know, just a little bit.
That's awesome. What has traveling taught you about like being here in California, like how you live now?
I'm very grateful. You know, I'm very blessed. Seeing the world and seeing different people, like how they live and understanding different people's cultures, really makes me appreciative for like kind of what I have and where I'm at. And it's also why I think the way I do think. Like you said, people in Sweden are very like neutral. I'm a very neutral person myself, because I see BS on both sides. I see, mm-hmm. you know, people think there is one way that's right, and I'm like, there really isn't. Just balance is key in life. You, too much of one thing is just going to lean us in the direction. Then you have other people like this. Like, and it's in the United States, we're very different, because we have so many different demographics and so many different people and mindsets. Like, it's, you're never going to have one person that's going to be for everyone. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think that's ever going to happen, because you have to step on someone's toes to help other people. Like, that's just how it's going to be. But what changed my mind the most, if I have to really think and like put something on it, was when I was in Afghan. I went in 2013. Seeing how like the kids there, like, and just how they live life, and then like thinking, you know, how some of the at that time, how they were thinking, oh, we're infidels, America's, you know, the Western, they're just infidels, they're just here to try to, you know, take over this. And you just see the innocence in the kids, and they're just so happy, like, mm-hmm. you know, and like we would always have like Snickers, any like snacks or something, right? You just give them to the kids and stuff like that. Of course, there's a bad side to that, which I won't say, because people hate on us. But
I'm so curious now.
Yeah, we'll definitely talk about that off. But just seeing how grateful they are, and like when we'd be driving through or something like that, they'd be so happy, you know? They'd be like all running up like to the vehicles and all happy and stuff like that. And you see, you know, and you see someone like the grown-ups, and they're just like staring, you know? And it just made me think, like, at what point, just like with like normal kids here, like at what point does that, I don't want to say hatred, because it's their way of life. And if mm-hmm. if I was there and we had foreigners in our land, you know, doing stuff, so I don't know what their parents believe, but doing stuff that's like, oh, they're killing our people, right? But there is this documentary called Restrepo. I don't know if you heard about it. This is, I think it's over like 10 years old now. It's about the 173rd Airborne Unit. They were put into the Korngal Valley, I believe. It's a very dangerous area at that time in Afghanistan, right? And they were on this little outpost, right? And there was one, this is something I looked at right when I deployed and I seen it, and I was trying to, because I was trying to get an understanding of where I was going and their mindset. So basically what had happened was they built up chicken, they put chicken wire up around an area because they were trying to build a bridge, right? A bridge to help the kids get to school. And we're trying to do so much stuff to help the local nationals, right? And then they had a meeting, like the captain had a meeting with the village elders and all that stuff. And they were so upset about this goat that they had to kill that it got stuck in the chicken wire, right? The goat got stuck in it and they had to kill it. Like it's suffering, you know, it's getting stabbed by chicken wire. So what did they do? They went up and put it out of its misery. Like, you take it out, it's not going to survive. It's just a long, slow death, you know? And they were so fixated on, you killed our goat, we want to be compensated, right? We want money to compensate, you know? And we're just like, we'll give you grains and stuff that's equivalent up to its weight, you know? We'll give you grains and equivalents up to that, but we're not going to give you money, you know? They kept focusing on the negative, like, well, you killed our chickens, like, or you killed our goat, our sheep and stuff, like, well, but we built this road so your kids can get to school, we helped do this, so now you guys don't have to worry about this and that. And they're like, oh, but we want our compensation. So it was just like, when I seen that, I'm just like, they were so focused on, you know, like the negative side of stuff, but they couldn't see the positive. And it just made me, I was like, man, commerce rules everything. Commerce rules everything. Like, and I was just like, no matter what, it's just about, I got to be grateful for where I'm at, what I do, because I could try to, I could believe I'm doing everything righteous for the right reasons, but they're going to interpret it as the wrong way, and I can't do anything about that. So that I brought kind of back here, and that's why I'm just grateful for everything, mm-hmm. you know, that I have, because I know where I was, and blessed, truly mm-hmm. blessed. Can't complain.
That must be so trippy, because now that we're in war times again, we can start, like, you know, talking about wars and thinking about it like it's just so timely. But you see that at the heart, like, we're all once kids, and at some point, division is taught. Mm-hmm. And then if you're lucky, you can come back to that realization of, you have to come back to love. These are people that had to follow orders, and their children. That's like every war. It's someone taking orders, terrible orders, whether it's, if it leads to murder, it's a terrible order. Mm-hmm. And then there's just like innocent little kids that don't get to see their parents for a little bit or whatever the deal is. That's kind of like what's very interesting about just wars. It's necessary. It has to happen. But it's like the children. It's a necessary evil. It's like, yeah, like the innocence, the fact that like people are going to get caught up in this evil when like the level is love. When you're from America and you go to Afghan and you see the kids, it's all love. Mm-hmm. When you go to different countries, it's not like, you're my opposition. It's mm-hmm. like, it's all love. The kids, they love you. The older people, you know, you have different values. Mm-hmm. Do you normally go to countries that you're allied with?
I just go wherever I felt like going. Like,
how does it work going to Afghan if we're not?
I've only went in the military. So I only went. Would I ever go non? No way.
How are you ever able to connect with the children, like, as an American military?
You don't really, where I was at, I didn't really get the opportunity to, like, be around the kids and, you know, stuff like that. But we have a lot of local nationals that work on our base, right? Now, they're not kids. They're grown adults, right? They're just, like, normal. Think of them like civilian contractors, right? They come on the base to do work, and they're compensated, and then they get to go home. But, of course, you know, if we leave, then they worked with Americans. They're traitors and stuff like that, right? So...
yeah, that's the part that doesn't make sense to me. When military people go to Afghan, it's like, how is it not war? And how are they working together? And why do they stay 6 months if they're not at war?
It's so some people if they're actually not on the same team. Don't believe in like what, you know, the Taliban had to say and what they were doing and all that stuff. So what's that freaking movie? It had, what's his name in it? Oh my gosh, it's based off a true story.
American Sniper.
That was one I was going to talk to about the kids, but there's another one. The guy ends up getting injured, and his interpreter basically helps bring him, carries him miles, like almost 100 something miles to the next base. I've never heard of that one. I can't think right now. Once I figure out who's in it, it's driving me crazy. It's not Bradley. It's Jake Gyllenhaal. Jake Gyllenhaal's in it.
I don't watch TV. It should be there.
there's a movie. Jake Gyllenhaal's portraying this almost like a mercenary. No, was he? He wasn't a mercenary. He worked with contractors. I think he was a regular soldier. But they go out on a mission. They get hurt and stuff like that. And you meet this character who's like an interpreter, right? And he's working with the U.S. military. And he goes above and beyond just to get the soldier back on base. And then after that, there was a bounty on his head. Like him and his family. They were like, you helped get this American back. Like, you're a traitor to us. And there was a bounty. And this is a true story, too, which is crazy. You know, and you're wondering, why do they do that, right? Because he didn't like the Taliban. He didn't like what they represented. He didn't like what they did. He didn't like none of that stuff. So some people it's work, some people it's, they just don't respect what the Taliban was doing. The only downside is, like, once we leave, like, no one's there to help them. But at what point do we be like, okay, look at, you guys gotta kind of do your own thing. But
so America protects Afghanistan
when we're
from Taliban,
when we're there, right? When we were there, right, and they're working on base with us, right, and stuff like that. Usually a lot of them live close to base. And we have this, like, giant blimp in the sky that, like, you could see, like, white hot, red hot.
You mean the white big balloons?
The white big balloons.
You guys have those?
Yeah, the giant. They're huge. They're massive. Yeah.
I see those.
Yeah, they're huge. And we could see miles out. Like, so this, like, so if there's, like, any type of suspicious behavior or any stuff in any of the local areas, we could send a QRF, a quick response force, to go out there and handle that. Or, depending if they're, like, out in the middle of nowhere, we can just send some rockets out there and stuff like that. So, like, technically, yes, we do kind of protect these areas when we're there, but once we're gone, that protection's gone, you know, and you're kind of, like, left to fend for yourself.
The Afghan people.
Yes. Like, our main objective there, at least when I was there, we were training the Afghan National Army, right? Our goal was to help train them to be able to be self-sufficient. Now, were they, will they? No. No way. We've seen what happened in Iraq. As soon as we left, what happened? Steamrolled. Taliban just came through, steamrolled them. It's not going to happen. It's just their mindset is completely different than ours.
The Taliban?
A lot of people over there in general. Like, of course, the Taliban's mindset's completely different, but from what I've seen, like, it's just a lot of cultural differences. Like, oh, they're a part of our village. They're in our village, so I can't be mean to them, or I can't do this to them and stuff like that. You know, but they're in our village, so we got to, like, respect them and stuff like that. But I'm like, but if they're kidnapping your youth and making them do stuff, and then you get mad at us because now we see them with a weapon trying to hurt us, but we take them out, now we're the bad guys.
So it is just as confusing as I am.
It's very confused, but yeah. Like, it's a mindset thing. It's very hard to put yourself in that mindset because you don't think like that. Like, I was just like, wrong is wrong, right? That's my mindset. If these people are taking your youth and stuff like that, they're wrong. I don't care. Yeah. I don't care if they're from your village. I don't care if they're your cousin. I don't care if they're freaking family. Wrong is wrong. They're taking and they're using, and then you get mad at us, right? And we defend ourselves. Right. But then they're like, well, what are you doing in our country in the first place? And then it goes back to the whole, we were there for the wrong reason. Like, it's just a lot of that. So, yeah.
Okay. So that's what I like about, like, the military men in the world. They're very, like, good is good and bad is bad. And there's pros and cons to that. But at the end of the day, like, a man that can, like, be like, no, we need to protect, or, like, it's not that complicated. We have to fight evil. Mm-hmm. That's really refreshing. They're just morals and dating assistants. Not in, but I do like that, because military, they have to take orders, so they have to be in, like, alignment with their orders. Mm-hmm. Even though I have, like, these questions of, well, what if people get pulled over or stuff like that?
What do you mean?
Well, like you said, they can take teenagers and train them up.
And in other countries, yeah. And it's honestly, this is a huge, like, deep dive, and, like, it would be interesting to, like do research on like the psychology of that, because I mean the Middle East will never be conquered. The Middle East will always be a conflict. Okay. You know, it'll always be that's biblical. Like it's.
I you have every right to say absolutely not, but because of the fact that you've been in the military, you are a Christian, and like everyone's opinions are anything they want. Are you open to sharing your opinion on the wars happening right now?
So I'm not as educated as what's going on now. I see a lot of it. I see people posting about it, but I haven't dedicated the time to like sit down and like just do a deep dive on everything. Mm-hmm. Right. And I don't want to speak on something what I'm not educated on, what I don't like at least have experience on or some knowledge on. You know, all I know is it's Israel and Palestine. That's the main thing. Like I'm seeing innocent people getting killed, which I'm against. Like innocent people have nothing to do with this, right? When you start bringing innocent people in, now it becomes like an issue. I feel like it becomes a worldly issue. When innocent people are being harmed, people who have nothing to do with it, people are just trying to live their life, that's mm-hmm. when it becomes like a worldly issue, right? Yeah. Like if you want to fight the armies, right? If you want to, you know, target specific people, cool. Leave innocent people out of it, right? Because they're not going to defend themselves. Your average person ain't going to defend themselves, mm-hmm. right? Like, it's just like if you see someone out here getting picked on who's just minding their own business and they're just in it, like, no. I'm going to be like, nah, nope, ain't going to happen. Like, I'll defend them. If you want somebody to direct that at, you can direct it at me. Because I sure as heck will defend myself, right? Like, I don't fully know what's going on. It's just for like the past 3 weeks, it's just been like a lot. And I'm just like, let me set some time, maybe a full day where I can just research the whole thing and then try to look into like, because I guess from what I understand, are you following it a lot?
I don't like following when I see it on social media because it's just heavily opinionated. But someone like you would be like, tell me what you see because you have more perspective and life experience.
Right? And that's the thing. Same concept why I haven't been, because it's all one, like what people feel like through social media. And I don't believe social media is a good news outlet. It's good for like, oh, this is what's going on, but you should really go through third party sources to find your own information on it. Mm-hmm. Like it'll bring attention. I see it like a flashing light. It'll bring attention to something, but don't believe everything that you see. Do your due diligence to mm-hmm. do research on it. And that's why I don't really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I like, you know, things where there has to be an extreme opinion, because I usually will stand pretty strong somewhere. But for this, I'm just like, it looks so deceiving both ways, because, you know, like we're allied with one side. Mm-hmm. And then that's also God's chosen people from like even the Bible point. I'm like, I don't really know too much about that part, but then when you see on social media, it looks like we know who the clear evil and bad people is. But that's why when it comes to those things, I'm like, it's a war. Don't let the innocent people die and keep me out of it. I'm not smart enough. I have not been to the military. I barely understand history. Like I don't think I should have an opinion, but
I think everyone can have an opinion as long as, you know, this is where, especially nowadays, so many people are afraid to get offended, mm-hmm. right? And if you don't believe what someone else believes, they try to assassinate your character, right? Like, you don't believe what I believe in? Oh, you're this, you're that, that's what you are. It's like, no, I just don't believe in that. Well, no, this is exactly who you are and all this stuff.
I know you now.
Right? Like, okay, so your opinion of me is completely factual, even though I can have the same opinion. Like, what makes yours better than mine? You know, and that's a whole different a whole different like debate and a whole different like argument. But I don't know. What I do know is if China decided to go after Taiwan, if there's any other time to do it, now would be the time. That's just I'm not telling them to do it. I'm just saying if they wanted to do something, now would be the time, because you have Russia, Ukraine, you have Israel, Gaza, or the Israel Palestinians, and then you'd have China, Taiwan. America's not going to do. We're not going to.
Who would attack America?
Who wouldn't? Like,
who could be trying right now?
If what stopped China from messing up Taiwan a long time ago when Clinton was a part of it was we used to have the strongest Navy. right? We sent our giant navy in that area, and they're like, okay, cool. I don't think we have the strongest navy anymore. Like, I don't believe so. I don't, right? That's, and like, if you've been looking, I think it was like last year or earlier this year, they've been doing a lot of test flights. China's been doing a lot of like, we're going to test fly in their airspace. We're just going to like, a lot of poking of the bear. Like, we're just flying. We're not doing anything. We're just, oh, we're here. Oh, sorry. We're coming out just to see how they would react. Right. And I remember seeing a video on YouTube of just like all the, within the year, all the flights into their, into Taiwanese airspace that they were doing. And I'm just like, because they don't recognize it as a country. They don't. You know, the whole Russia-Ukraine thing, I can't even be mad at Russia because NATO broke their promise. You know, so like when people are like, Russia needs to stop, I was like, what you guys don't know is NATO is the one that broke the truce.
What was the truce?
So when the USSR was broken up, right? I'd have to have like a giant map. It'd be better to show you. But like basically Russia was like, okay, we'll disband. We won't do anything. But NATO, which started with just like a few countries, right? It wasn't on their borders. It was like, okay, you got, NATO doesn't expand. We can agree to that, right? So what did they started doing? NATO started expanding into Poland and all these other countries surrounding Russia, right? Because basically pushing up against Russia's borders. Because when the USSR broke down, like countries like Belarus became like a country, Ukraine became a country, because they were all a part of Russia before. So they all became these independent factions. I don't know what country specifically it was, but they were thinking about becoming a part of NATO. So what did Russia do? Russia marched their troops in and basically like stopped that idea.
And NATO, what is NATO?
NATO is, I can't think of the full, what the definition of NATO is, but it's almost like the combined power of like Europe and US, right? Interesting. Like it's like an ally nation.
Yeah.
Right. Like, I was a part of a NATO thing when we were in Afghanistan. Like, we were part of, not NATO. That's something different. ISAF, something different. But, like, NATO is just like a, think of it like a European, like, union, but, like, partnered with the U.S. So, we started getting closer to their borders. Because if you look at on a map, Russia doesn't have, Russia's huge, but it doesn't have much usable, like, land. A lot of it's just like ice, mountains. There's not much that they can really use. So like they were trying to make these countries a part of NATO, and Russia's like, that's not a part of the agreement, especially Ukraine, because Ukraine is very
with Russia.
Yeah.
And then what was the second one? Belarus?
Belarus, I think, it's just another country that was a part of it. Like, there's, I'd have to like visually see, yeah, it. But there was, I want to say it was Belarus, but I don't know who specifically it was. It was one of those independent nations who were thinking of going with NATO, and Russia just was like, nah, fam. They put their troops in there, and they just like messed that whole thing up. And NATO's like, oh, we don't want no part of that. We don't want to mess with Russia, because, you know.
So that's like a perfect example of how like uneducated people like myself, like with history, don't understand those things. All I know is a war, and it's very clear who like the bad guy is when, mm-hmm, they're overpowering. But like, that's, I just, like, America was so clear on the side that we stuck with, but, mm-hmm, I didn't even understand NATO. Like, I took a history class and it just left my head once I finished.
It's
so when you say like, well, NATO broke their code, I'm like, what is NATO and what code?
Yeah, if you, so what I would encourage for anyone, if you know, whatever, do your own research. Look at when the USSR broke up, look at where Russia was and all the independent nations, and then look where NATO, what NATO was. Then look at it nowadays and see who expanded more. And you'll clearly understand who basically provoked the other person, right? And like, am I upset about it? I mean, yeah, it's war. Of course you're mad about it, but I understand why you're doing it. Like, mm-hmm, as a leader, you see your enemies surrounding you pretty much, almost like they're closing in on me, right? So if you can imagine that, like, hey, we had a promise, but you guys are supposed to be a block away. What y'all doing moving close to my house? Like, well, hold up now, you know? So like when I like found that out, I was like, dang. I was like, and there's a reason why the U.S. doesn't want no smoke, because technically Russia doesn't see Ukraine as an independent country. They see them as a part of Russia, but we see them as an independent country, right? So there's a reason why Europe won't step in, because when it comes to providing them with oil, gases, and stuff like that, Russia supplies that to Europe. So Putin's like, well, if you guys join, we're just going to cut you off. We'll just stop supplying you all these stuff. And we're across the ocean. We can't supply them with what they need because we're too busy not even using our own oils. We're importing our own stuff, even though we have stuff here. But what do I know, right? Like, so that's a lot of the reasons why Europe is not in it. Like,
that would, Europe's chilling. They're good.
I mean, they're just like,
yeah.
Because if they, the moment they do that, Putin can cut them off to, I think, their natural gases, and then their huge supplier of oil, right, to petroleum and stuff like that. They cut them off, then like, where's Europe gonna get their stuff from? How are they gonna keep their people thriving and surviving? Like, how? It's just not gonna happen. It's not gonna happen. Won't happen. So that's why they're out of it. You know, and if U.S. officially puts people over there, like officially, then that's almost like, it's almost like a declaration. But if we just supply you guys with stuff, we're not fighting your fight. We're just giving you guys stuff. We're just helping the little guy. We're just helping the little guy, right? But the moment we're like, we here, then it's like a huge issue. And yeah, I don't want to say I'm fearful for where things are. I'm very just conscious of like the state of the world. Mm-hmm. And like I've said it for a long time, I was like, the U.S. just needs to mind our own business sometimes. We need to focus on us for a little bit, rebuild us up, you know, as a nation. Because look at how much we're indebted into China. How much money do we owe China?
Too much.
A lot. A lot of money. Right? So like, how about we just focus on us, pay off that stupid debt, get this crap out of the way, right? Like, and just build our nation up in our country, you know? Like, that's what the freaking United Nations is all about, right? Like, as together, people come together and do this stuff. But like in Afghan, there was Polish. I deployed with Polish people at my duty station, and there were some people from the UK, but it's mainly American. It was mainly an American thing. But I'm like, yeah, we're the ones dedicating the most, right? We're always giving the most, you know?
Man.
Yeah.
See, if those kind of decisions to make, it really does make sense. Like, why the people that are functioning at the very top that have to make decisions for countries, which is obviously like the highest of highs, like presidents and people like that, they don't care about the individual. Like, one person is so irrelevant with trying to figure out like, oh, this country might want to bomb you guys. Like, one person doesn't matter. And that's like mind-blowing, because they see by majority. So individuals have to really be hard to kill, because you're nobody to them. They want to protect you, they want to keep your people safe, but essentially you're a nobody to them. Like, they want our country safe, but they don't care about you.
They don't mind they don't mind sacrificing a few to save the many.
Yeah.
Like, and that's a tough decision that has to be made. I got it. I didn't realize what time it was.
You have work?
Yeah.
All right. Last question of the day. As you were
in 30 minutes.
Key for one to elevate their lives. And ways people could find you.
You can find me at Hybrid Hester. Two H's on the hybrid. Is it two H's on the Hester? I have no idea.
We'll just tag you.
Double H hybrid, you'll find me. What was the question? Key to what?
What has been your key to elevate in your life?
Never stay satisfied. Always strive to be, you know, set little goals. I set little goals for myself to accomplish over a big period of time, like transitioning to a new career, you know, reaching a certain income level, saving a certain amount of money, right? So in order to save a certain amount of money, I need to get to a certain level of income. just goals that I want to just accomplish. Like, I never want to stay stagnant. I always want to progress. I never just want to be, okay, well, here I am. Like, okay, people get too comfortable nowadays. I don't ever want to be comfortable. Mm-hmm. Like, I always want to progress. By the time I'm comfortable, I want to be like, look, I've done everything I've set out to my life to accomplish. And, like, I'm talking, like, retired. Like, I ain't got to worry about nothing. I could just wake up and just, you know, there's nothing on the agenda to do for the day. But even still, I'll probably have something that I want to do. You know, I'm going to go for a hike today. I want to do this. I want to do that. But just strive to be better. We only have one life to live. Be grateful to those around you. Whether you believe in something better, bigger than yourself, you know, some people like to believe in themselves. You know, I'm Christian. I believe in G-O-D, numero uno, but believe in something bigger than yourself. Because, you know, even if you don't believe, just try to live your life by those mm-hmm. principles. You know, a good analogy is if we're wrong and there is no God and life just ends, then I spent my life being a good person to others and putting good people around me.
Yep.
And if I'm right, then it's a party.
I'm gonna meet him.
Right. So I was like, to me, it doesn't seem like a bad thing. Cause I'm still just enjoying stuff, you know, and you learn to be grateful. You learn to pour into others and stuff like that. That's just what I would say. That's kind of what I base my life off of.
That's powerful. That sums it all up, guys. Thank you so much for being here. Sorry I have you a little bit late for work. My bad.
It's okay. I'll make a quick little call. Be like, hey, guys, I'll be about like 10 minutes late.
Yeah, sorry.
Forgive me.
Guys, thank you for listening. Please keep elevating. And as he said, keep progressing. Never be stagnant. Work hard. Be hard to kill always. And have a beautiful day. Thank you, everybody. Yay!